The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins, K4Wins.com. He is Kai Gregory. He's been handicapping for well over 30 years, three decades, all over the place. Case Kiefer, of course, is executive director, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He's out there, 0.0 out there in beautiful Las Vegas. What temperature out in Las Vegas right now? Has it been kind of, I see where the Brits and stuff are complaining about all the heat. And I'm like, dude, you haven't enjoyed the United States of America heat. Is it still hotter than hell?
Well, I kind of got spoiled because it was like the coolest July in 20 years or something. I mean, it was right? Beautiful. But now we got extreme heat warnings every day, and it's back to the 108.
Dude, it's been like 75 here. It's been crazy, and people are complaining. I'm like, hey, this climate change is good. I'm digging it. And a man who can make it hotter just by walking into the room, Kip Kiefer, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse and Casino, now run by the Porch Creek Indians. Be listening for our show live from where are we going to be? We're going to be doing a show, Indigo. We're going to be doing a show from Aruba. That's
Aruba.
Aruba. That's Aruba. That's Aruba. That's what we're going to be doing. A few other two knuckleheads want to come along with us. You're welcome to come along.
What was that first place you mentioned?
Indigo. I don't know. I was making some shit up.
Is there such a place?
There actually is a place called Indigo, believe it or not.
Okay.
We've got all the polls out. Really no big differences between the AP and the coaches, with the exception of one team that I think is really, really, really interesting, because we're going to get into our most overrated and most underrated teams in our polls. We're going to get into that today. We were right again, and I'm going to tell you, listen, I always talk about the blind squirrel finding the nut. I told you last Friday what to do before this past weekend. I told you what to do, and if you did it, and we did our show last Friday, we're on the Coastal Sports Network, the whole thing, you cleaned up in preseason football this weekend. We'll tell you about that. We're going to get into some baseball coming up in just a few minutes as well. All right, let's start with you, Kai. First of all, how'd we do last weekend?
Last week, 21-10, so 67%.
That's like baby candy from a baby.
I know it's every week just about. I mean, I know a couple of weeks before that we didn't have a great week. We went 14-12 during the down week, but still to go 14-12. I mean, still doing pretty well. I mean, you're not losing. And then overall year to date, 625, 348, and 4. For 64% year to date.
All right, don't dive too deep. Don't go too deep here because we got an hour show to do. But right off the bat, you've seen the preseason coaches poll, and now you've seen the AP poll. You've compared them side by side. Obviously, there are some differences, not a lot differences. I know a lot of people are a little angry that there's not a 1-2 necessarily, but it's a 1-3. It's still a huge matchup, but I know that a lot of people were changing their placards going, oh shit, it's not 2, it's 3. What is it? And I think Ohio State, a lot of people probably have them as one of their most overrated teams this year for a lot of reasons. But what stuck out first to you, we'll go around the horn real quick. When you saw both polls side by side, what's your thoughts, Kai?
First off, that Case and I were right. His favorite team on the year, ranked 2. My favorite team going into the year, ranked 1. You had Penn State as your favorite, right, Case?
Yeah, I have Penn State. I mean, it's close. I think you can make a lot of cases, but I have Penn State 1.
I mean, closest vote since, 98? One of them has 1,552 points with 25 first place votes. The other has 23 with 1,547 points. I like that. And then I think there are some severely underrated teams, one of which will shock everybody on here, that I think is one of the most underrated teams going into the season. And then, a lot of really, 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 really overrated teams.
Okay. And I think we always see overrated stuff in these preseason polls just because of the names. Kip, what's your initial thoughts when you saw both polls side by side?
Well, I got out my dartboard and started throwing to see who my top 10 is going to be, because that's all. These guys don't know anything. We have not seen. What are you basing all this on? I'm not a big. I understand the preseason poll. I get it. It's to create discussion just like this. But I mean, so many of these contending teams are breaking in new quarterbacks. Do you think every one of these guys is going to be a phenomenal success? I just don't see it. At least Case's selection, Drew Aller's played for 2 years. We know what we've got there. But, you know, even Arch Mania, until I see him go out there, the highest level of play that he has performed in is against ULM Monroe and a bad Mississippi State team last year, and he didn't just light it up then. He played at a small level in a Catholic school in Louisiana. I'm just not ready to declare Arch Manning the great savior just because his last name is Manning. He may turn out to be phenomenal. I don't know. Maybe he's the next Lamar Jackson, but until I see it, and other teams like Ohio State, just saying, I've never seen him play. Has he ever taken a snap? It's hard for me to get my arms around the concept of these people making these predictions and putting these teams in these spots. It's just a guess. And I hope I don't sound like too much of a curmudgeon.
You do sound like a curmudgeon. I mean, it's what we do. This is prognostication at its best. That's what we do. God, if we didn't have preseason polls, I don't know what the hell we would have done sports radio for the last 4 years.
It's just a blind leap because we don't know.
Well, it is, but also, you know, Tim Brando came out with his top 15, and we went back and looked at his top 15, and he nailed it last year. I mean, he had Indiana, he had SMU. I mean, so you look back at some of the things and go, listen,
a lot different than this one.
It really is. And so I mean, it's good to compare some things, and it's good to be different too. I know some people like to be different just to be different. I think Tim's like that, but once in a while, that blind squirrel finds the nut too. So we'll see what happens. Case, I know, you know, you mentioned Drew Aller. You know, the quarterback play, and we did a whole entire show on the NFL and quarterbacks this past week, which was really, really good. We'll get back into that as well. But I think there's only three teams in the top 10, maybe two, that actually have a returning quarterback. We found out that the Crimson Tide now has named Ty Simpson their starting quarterback after being on the bench and being a backup the last two seasons. Not really a big surprise, but for Crimson Tiders that are thinking, okay, who's the guy going to be? It'll be Simpson. But Drew Aller, he's the piece, I think, that is when you're pointing the spotlight on Penn State. If he goes, Penn State goes. I mean, I know there's a lot of different parts of a football team, obviously, outside the quarterback, but he's going to be a big part of their success, correct?
Yeah, big part. But I think that, you know, I really love the rest of Penn State's roster. Honestly, I understand that some people have hesitations with him, especially with how he played in big games. And then to me, I say, OK, well, you've got those two running backs that are a better 1-2 puncher running backs than anyone in the nation.
Strong.
You do lose Abdul Carter, which hurts. But they had a great wide receiver haul in the portal. I just feel like there's not many weaknesses on this team. So even people that are saying Drew Aller's terrible, he's not any good, he can't move, he's just a pocket passer, I say, well, the rest of the team's still like a top 10 worthy, at least in my mind. I want to say on the poll debate, I'm really conflicted because, to be honest, you said we've all got a chance to look at it and can react to it. I had not looked at it once until now because I just frankly do not care. It has absolutely no bearing on what I bet or what I do. So I'm diminishing it in that way. But in the same way, I kind of disagree with Kip. And I feel like there's a really strong correlation. If you look back through the data, you would be shocked of how well these preseason polls end up correlating to how the season actually goes. I think it's because everyone just focuses on, yeah, there's going to be one or two teams that flame out and look terrible. Then it's going to be like, haha, you had, I don't know, Clemson at four, and they ended up losing four games and having the worst season. So we focus on that and don't focus that usually this wisdom of crowds, it is pretty strong. And I mean, no offense to Kip, no offense to Kai, no offense to Tony, but I would place a max bet right now. You guys put down your top 10, even me against myself. If we each made our top 10, I think that there's a much better chance that this AP top 10 turns out stronger than just one individual's person at the end of the year, because I think it's a little more than a blind guess. I mean, most of these guys that have votes do this year round. They're college football. I mean, this is their life.
Long gone are the days where the SID did all the voting. I've been in the middle of this stuff. I've been doing SEC media days since I was in diapers. Poll, but I mean, coaches poll SID. There's a lot of different guys that you know, because a lot of people were like, you know, and then we went to the BCS coaches poll where the coaches are like, hey, listen, and we actually have to vote here. I mean, there's a lot of people that were just mailing crap in. And I do think it's now where certainly you can see who's voting, why they're voting. We can go back to the Corky days, the Corky Simpson days. We're going to find out who's voting for what. And now you can be called out for it. You know, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you could vote and no one even knew who the hell your vote was. Now we can find out who the hell you are. And we can find you on your Twitter account. We can drill your ass if you end up being stupid.
I'm not using it. I don't think it's extremely predictive. Like, I have a spreadsheet with about five ranking systems that I use to inform my numbers. And like the AP poll is not one of them. I want cold, hard data. But I will say that there is a pretty strong correlation to how things turn up. And it's going to sound dumb, but if you are betting futures, I do think there are worse things you could you could reference. Because I do think, I mean, there's nothing terribly out of place here to me. Actually, outside the top 10 is where I really have issues, because I'm down on all three in a row outside of the top 10. Arizona State, Illinois, South Carolina. I don't like any of those teams. Even Florida now with all these injuries, I'm very worried about. So, that's my real true off the cuff reaction. I don't think there's anything that totally stands out shocking of the top 10. Beyond that, I might have some differences.
Any team that lost three or more games last year is going to be one in that mix and that smuddling pile of crap. Three, four, five wins, because one win or one loss can make you a top 10 team or a top 15 team or a top 25 team. You can lose five games and be in the top 25. I will say this. You were mentioning, for the most part, and listen, I've been part of the media for a long time. I actually had a vote. I actually had a vote in the AP for about 6 years. And people would ask me, and of course, I wasn't allowed to give out my votes and this, that, and the other. I would have done it anyway, but I mean, I love talking the fact that I actually had a vote, because people actually thought I knew what the hell I was doing. It's like, I'm a guy who's been playing Led Zeppelin records for 30 years, yet I have a vote in the AP poll, which I thought was really, really cool. That was just because I was on a sports radio station and worked for ESPN for a period of time. But yeah, for every year we have the guys that are spot on. We do have those Arizona State years and we have those FSU years. And certainly, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
They were a top 10 team last year and they were not in the top 110.
No, I get, you're exactly right. And I don't know. Normally, you know, if I had a producer, he would find that guy who was on FSU to suck all year last year. I can't seem to find that guy. I can't seem to find a guy out there that had a 13-0 team 1 year, losing 12 games the following year. I can't find him. If we could find him, he'd be a brilliant man. And I'd love to hear his thoughts on why he thought FSU was just going to fall apart. I will tell you this. I got Clemson winning it all. So I think the AP poll is a little bit closer on, because they're actually fourth as opposed to sixth. The preseason coaches poll. I think Ohio State is only number two or number three or anywhere in a poll, just because they're Ohio State and they're the defending champs. I know a lot of people vote depending on whether they're defending. If you're defending champ, you're on top of the hill. You should be number one. I hate that. I hate when people vote preseason a team number one just because they finished the season number one last year. And the other thing is, there are a lot of teams, like you mentioned, South Carolina that I got going to playoff. Michigan, I think, is going to be real interesting. Ole Miss, SMU, Florida should be real interesting. I think Tennessee's got a great story behind them. Talked about Indiana, the season they had last year. But you know what? The AP's got Oklahoma, so number 18, and the coaches aren't having any of it. And I don't know what that means. They're the only team in the AP coaches poll that is as high as 18, and they didn't even sniff a vote in the coaches poll. And that Oklahoma team has been one of those teams, and Kip, you were all over them last year. It was almost like I thought maybe you had a degree from there. You pinned them down every single week, and then when they got hot, they ended up getting hot, knocked off a couple teams they weren't supposed to. And so we're trying to figure out what this Oklahoma squad is. At least the AP thinks they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. Your thoughts, Kip?
There's been some turbulence overnight on that. I don't know if the story is legit. Case may be aware of it. It just broke last night. But supposedly John Mateer is being scrutinized right now because some story somewhere broke that they have irrefutable evidence that he bet on the USC-UCLA game last night and even transferred money via Venmo to do that. Now, in this day and age, with FanDuel and ESPN bets, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but I wonder if that's going to be a potential problem, because if Mateer gets suspended or whatever, and I don't put anything past the powers that be, if that story has any validity, that could really throw a monkey in the Oklahoma wrench. I don't know if you guys are even aware of this yet.
Anything you've heard? I'm sure you heard about this because you're all over it, your case.
Yeah, I saw the Venmo screenshot this morning, actually probably about an hour before the show started. So there is a screenshot where he puts, I mean, it's almost so ridiculous. Like Oklahoma fans I saw are saying that he was just messing around and this wasn't really what it was and that the compliance department knows about it and looked into it. But literally on the Venmo transaction, it says like sports gambling dash USC versus UCLA. Then there's one other Venmo thing that says sports betting, I think. I don't know what to believe. I haven't talked to anyone. I don't have any true reporting on this. It does seem hard to believe that, you know, the way these guys are scrutinized, that someone wouldn't have come upon it. And yeah, I think it was like 2022 or 2023 too. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he could have just been messing around. He could have just been an idiot in messing around. I don't know. They'll get to the bottom of it, but it's certainly something they're looking into. And I agree with Kip. I mean, Mateer is like the great hope for them. So if he's out, it's a big difference. And I think I didn't realize that Oklahoma wasn't ranked in the coaches poll, but I think you kind of merged two of your points. And that's why I do think the AP poll is a lot more valuable than the coaches poll. Is I really do think the AP guys are putting way more work into this. The coaches poll, I still think largely is they throw it to the SID.
Yes.
The SIDs look at who was good last year. And I think that's how.
And the ESPN poll is totally self-serving, with the top three being Texas, Georgia, Alabama.
Sure.
Because they're the SEC network.
Yeah. So I think Oklahoma should certainly be in the top 25, assuming Mateer plays.
Let's be honest. Even people that gamble on sports, when they Venmo their bookies, don't put in there.
Exactly.
No, great. Yeah, great work. Thanks for the cupcakes. Yeah, you don't ever put gambling. I'm hoping that Mateer's not that stupid to do that. Well, the way USC did win that game 48-45 this past season over UCLA, yeah, to put sports gambling would just be absolutely the biggest idiot move. Now, we've seen college kids do worse. We've seen college kids do dumber shit than this.
And it's the fastest growing segment of sports bettors in the country, 18 to 34.
Individuals. Dude, this is smoking
it's
cigarettes,
not that
man.
Outlandish, yeah. But it doesn't really matter. If he's not betting on the Washington State, Oregon State game, does it really matter?
It just opens up that Pandora's box.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Horning and Alex Karras were suspended in the 60s.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is 2025. This is a computer age. And he's a young guy. I don't think this is a big deal, but I can certainly see people that will treat it like it's such.
And by the way, if Pete Rose did not bet on the Cincinnati Reds to lose, he's an idiot. That was the one thing he took to his grave. I never bet on the Reds to lose. Like, that was supposed to be the saving grace. Like, he was always betting on his team to win because he was a winner. I can guarantee you right now that there were days when Pete Rose, when he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, believe it or not, folks, actually, gosh, if you had in-game betting back in those days, Pete Rose would be a millionaire times over. He wasn't stupid enough to know that you can bet against your team, actually look pretty good doing it, and actually make some cash on the side. So he did bet against the Cincinnati Reds for sure. I think what would be really interesting too, what a great story. Everyone talks about the SEC, even Case a couple weeks ago was like, can we please get off this SEC bullshit? God, I'm so tired of talking about the SEC. It is the most strongest, most wonderful. It just means more. It just does. And we know that. But it would be amazing if SEC got shut out from a natty again by not one, not two, but a third different Big Ten team, which I know Kip Kiefer would absolutely love, and that being the Penn State Nittany Lions. If Ohio State, Michigan, then Penn State won back-to-back-to-back seasons for the Big Ten, you may have to move that college football, king of college football flag up north somewhere. SEC, man, we blow our horns, man. It's all SEC, SEC, SEC. We got everybody in the NCAA. We got everyone in Major League Baseball. We've got the Final Four. We got, it just means more. And then all of a sudden, the Big Ten to win back-to-back-to-back natties in college football would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that when it happens, because I don't see it.
All right, let's start with Kai. Let's go around the horn with our most underrated plays. In our top 25, you can go AP, coaches, whatever you want. Give me two or three underrated plays. We'll go around and we'll do our overrated. Go.
My number three most underrated team, it was actually a tie between Alabama and Georgia Tech. But I'm going to keep Georgia Tech as most underrated, since they are not in the top 25. And looking at their schedule, I just – I Now, granted, they may go to Colorado and lose week one. I don't think they're going to. I really don't. And I know Deion's all hyped up and how Colorado is going to win differently and this and that and this and that. But I really like Georgia Tech. I like everything that Key is doing, their coach. I love the quarterback. I think the defense is going to be stronger. I think the offense is going to be stronger. They don't have to play. I don't think they play Clemson. They do have to play Miami. They don't play Clemson.
They play Clemson week three.
Do what?
They do play Clemson at home in week three.
Okay, then they don't play Miami, maybe.
Right, that's correct.
They play Clemson and Georgia. They're the two top 10 teams that they play. They're my number three. Number two, I've flipped back and forth with this, but I really paid a lot of attention to it after our show last week. And I've gone back, and I think my number two team is Texas A&M. That offensive line with Moss coming back, I think they're going to do some stuff and maybe move up from 19. They do play a couple of the top 20 teams, obviously, in Texas. And I think Notre Dame, I don't know if they play another one. Maybe I'm sure they play LSU. I like them. And then my most underrated team is Clemson. I know they're ranked fourth, but yeah, they return 80% of their production from last year. They actually went into the portal and made some nice pickups that I think will help them. And I just looking at their schedule, they only play one top 10 team preseason, and it's LSU in game one at home.
Yeah, $850 are tickets, by the way. That's the hottest ticket in Clemson land, period. Obviously, my son goes to school there, so he's got a good finger on the pulse of that. And I haven't seen, my boy's been going to school there for 2 years. I've never seen is fired up on the Clemson since they won a national championship. The last time they won a national championship, everyone it's all natty or bust this year for Dabo Swinney. It really is.
They beat LSU. I think they're undefeated going, even with all the things I think about Clemson and how they blow 11 o'clock games at home. I think they're undefeated
going. I agree with you. And the strange thing about LSU is I just don't know about Brian Kelly. I really don't. I mean, he's been coaching for 30 years and I still don't know if he's, I don't think he's worth a rip. I think he's just a little hothead. I think he's kind of a weird dude. I've got a chance to meet him. I think he's a great coach. He did well at Cincinnati. He's obviously moved up. He's pretty much said, listen, I want to work here. And he goes and gets the job, which is a deal with the LSU. To leave Notre Dame and go do that at LSU is pretty amazing and unprecedented for sure. Kip, give me your underrated plays there of the coach's top poll so far.
Underrated. I've got one of Kai's. I think Texas A&M's kind of the sleeper in the SEC. I think they've got a lot of personnel back, and I just like what I heard at SEC Media Days from Mike Elko. I think a lot of these programs have gotten it wrong about who to bring on board. I think they got it right there because Elko did not have to assimilate into that program. He had been there before. He's well-liked and supposedly from the highest level of the administration at the university, right down to the level of the players, all the staff, not only his assistants, but all the support people around the team. This guy has everybody's confidence. And I just think in year two, they're going to be a lot better team. And I don't think we appreciate enough of the fact that they were a major factor in the SEC right up until the end of the year, where Texas just, you know, really smothered them and humiliated them at home in what was billed as this big game, the first confrontation between those two bitter rivals in a long time. But with Reed developing, he's back. We don't have that many teams in the SEC, as I mentioned in the preamble here, that have experienced quarterbacks coming back. He got a lot of playing time last year and showed a lot of flash. I just think that's a team that maybe is being underestimated a little bit. Plus, they only of the big three behemoths in the SEC, they are one of the rare examples of only having to play one of them. They have Texas on their schedule, no Alabama, no Georgia. So they and Ole Miss are in that kind of advantageous position to only have one of the big three, where a lot of teams have at least two of them. So there's just some reasons I think that they could overachieve a little bit and be a big factor. As far as the other teams that are underappreciated, I just mentioned Ole Miss. I don't know if Lane Kiffin has completely replaced everything they lost, but that's another team that schedule-wise, they were their Power Four game. They've got a Big Ten schedule because they were supposed to play Wake Forest, which was kind of a joke. That's a Power Four, but Wake Forest bought out, so now they've got four legitimate cupcake games on their schedule, a la Big Ten, who only has three because they have non-conference games. But Ole Miss has the schedule to be a lot more significant than the pollsters kind of rank them. And I think of all the debuting quarterbacks, I think Austin Simmons coming in has more upside than any of the guys that are debuting, including Arch Manning, maybe. He doesn't have the pedigree, but this is a guy who enrolled at Ole Miss when he was 15. He's 19 years old. He's already got a degree, and he's playing quarterback. We only saw him briefly last year, and he looked really impressive. He looks like he just got all the tools. I think Ole Miss is another really good sleeper from the SEC. And I don't know, underappreciated teams, it's kind of hard to tabulate. I don't know where to reach out. Maybe it's into the Big 12 because I think there's a couple of teams that fit the bill there. I think TCU could be a factor team. And Legend asked us a question last week on the starting lineup. What are people going to be talking about at the water cooler the Monday after the season gets underway? And mine that just popped in my head was how bad Bill Belichick embarrassed himself, him and Jordan Hudson falling on their face and losing at home in their grand debut to TCU. So I'm going to say the Horned Frogs. Sonny Dykes, after being coach of the year a couple years ago, maybe has that team poised to make a little bit of a comeback. Maybe even Baylor's in that category in the Big 12. So that's a couple that come to mind for me.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Check out the site. You can get there and check us out every time. Of course, we have all of our plays are documented. We're hitting 66, 67, 68% every single week. And of course, when we get into college football, professional football, man, we're all over it. Our numbers speak for themselves. Check it out. Of course, all four of us kind of throw our bets in there. When all four of us are on one team, it's like 83, 84%. I mean, we're hitting every time. And if we're all side the side, then we go ahead and not put the play up. So we make sure that we're consensusly speaking, have wonderful plays for you. So check it out, K4wins.com, at K4winners on the X format. And we'll have our most overrated plays right now, our most underrated teams coming up right now as well. Case, give me your most underrated teams right now. You got some teams that perhaps are sitting. I know you mentioned there's a bunch of teams like they're in that 10 to 19 area that you're not real sure about. Perhaps they're overrated, maybe they're underrated. What you got?
I don't really, I'll rattle some off the dome. I was more hoping to react, but I'll give some under it. I will say, what do we mention? Like seven or eight teams before we got to one I actually agree with. nice. I don't remember who Kai's first couple were. I think Kai's first couple were, but I totally agree with Kip on TCU. I think it kind of got glossed over how hot they were. I think they won like their last six games last year, and this offense was just humming. I think they kind of got written off because Georgia took their soul for a while. It took like a year for them to get back on track. But Hoover, the way scouts talk about him now, like he has a chance to be a day one, day two NFL draft pick if this goes well this year. I think they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. Andy Avalos obviously was flamed out as the Boise State coach, but he is an excellent coordinator. Defensively, I feel like they're really strong. I think TCU checks a lot of boxes for me. So since I didn't do my homework and didn't really come prepared, I will agree with Kip and say TCU is one I would definitely put on the underrated list. Not that I totally disagree with all the other ones you guys put. Another team I always talked about, I kind of group these teams together since you guys are all so high on Texas A&M. I still can't get out of my mind. I watched up close. Texas A&M had way more of their guys against the USC second stringers, and USC worked them in the final the final half of that game. Texas A&M looked completely ill-prepared, not ready for all the love Mike Elko gets. I don't know. I just have a tough time getting that out of my head. I really like USC this year.
By the way, whatever happened to Kevin Sumlin? Do you remember how hot he was as a coach? I mean, he guy could have named his price anywhere he wanted to go. Remember how hot he was? And where the hell is he at now? Does anyone know where
I swear I just read something about him the other day. I can't remember. He might be an analyst somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, definitely. That's a guy. Not to get too much on the side, but I still think he's a super sharp guy offensively. But if you just read, he just wasn't the right to lead a program. There's so much that go into coaching. We try to judge these guys off of like small little windows. We sure. get into them where you can have one thing and not have all the rest. I think that was the Kevin Sumlin thing. So yeah, I'm going to go TCU as one, USC is one. And let me throw out a third. I'm going to go, this is a little off the board. I'm going to go with NC State, as my third
interesting.
Underrated team. I just think the ACC is kind of open. NC State's schedule is absolutely a joke this year. I think CJ Bailey was way better as a freshman than people remember. And I just think about this time last year, NC State was like this hype darling. Oh, they got
they were ranked in the top 15 to start the year.
Even though he had six concussions, I was all in under against them. I didn't like them at all. But this is just how cyclical these things are. And all my a lot of my overrated and underrated are going to go based on the always going to be based on the betting market perception, and just the sentiment is so low on NC State now, where Dave Doran just kind of has a baseline of success. I mean, right now they're over under six wins. I think that's an easy smash to the over, especially when you look at their schedule. I don't think they might play only one of the big, I consider the big four in the ACC, Clemson, who by the way would be my number one most overrated team, I guess a little bit. I think they avoid Clemson, Miami, and then either one of Louisville and SMU. So I love their schedule. I think Dave Doran, I mean, it's a tough place to win, so he's not going to be considered like one of the best coaches in the nation, but I think he's better than he's getting respect for here. And I do think they at least get to that 7-8 win bar.
By the way, Kevin Sumlin has not coached in about 4 or 5 years. And if you pull up his overview, he's 61 years of age. It just says he's coached at multiple colleges, including A&M, Arizona. Has nothing in here about what he's doing now or what he's planning to be. He just got the buyout and took off. All right, some underrated plays. I've been talking about the South Carolina squad, and I really kind of stepped out on a limb just because I figured they were going to be one of my top five playoff teams just based off their schedule alone. I normally don't like to look at an easy schedule. I like to look at a team I think is good and can win these football games. And I think South Carolina is certainly there, number 13 in both polls. I think Beamer Ball is going to be back. Lenore Sellers, one of those quarterbacks, he is back for the SEC. And I think to bring back a quarterback in the SEC, I think is big news any year you can make that happen. So I'm going to go with South Carolina. I agree with you from Clemson standpoint, but they are number four, so it's kind of hard to overrate. I think they're about right where they need to be, but I think we're going to see a lot of stuff in that LSU game. Luke Altmyer, really interesting quarterback who had a couple of game-winning touchdown passes. It seemed like every time I tuned the TV on, Luke Altmyer was throwing a touchdown pass to win a game for the Fighting Illini last year. They got 16 returning starters last year from a squad that won 10 games last year. I think the Fighting Illini can have something to say about Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan vying for that Big Ten. And then the Wildcats of K-State, I've been kind of keeping an eye on a dynamic quarterback in Avery Johnson, who obviously was the head coach of the basketball program at Alabama. I loved Avery Johnson as a head football basketball coach, and now I love him as a quarterback. They got a very strong defensive line. They're getting ready for Week Zero's Farmageddon showcase there in Dublin against Iowa State. And, of course, a big win by K-State there against Iowa State, I think, would really propel them into a catbird seat there as far as in perhaps winning the Big 12 and maybe even getting one of those shots there at a national title. All right, teams that were underrated. How about some overrated? It seems like we always have a lot more overrated teams than underrated. Yes. Give me some overrated, Kai.
My number three overrated team is actually a tie, and I can't get away from it. They're both from the same state. Miami, just because Carson Beck is not Cam Ward. He's not going to make plays with his legs. I have no respect for the U, that program at all. But I'm going to go instead with a little bit higher. Number three is Florida. Being overrated strictly because of their schedule. I mean, they play six of the top 13 preseason teams in the country. I mean, their schedule is freaking brutal. And so I just think they're overrated at 15. My second one is Ohio State. They lost both defensive and offensive coordinators. They lost 16 starters. They don't know really who their quarterback's going to be. I think they're going to get beat at home in game one. I think they lose at least two games during the season. And so that's the reason why I say overrated is number three, because I think at the end of the season, Clemson at number four is going to have a better record than Ohio State. Ohio State definitely has a harder schedule. And that's one of the biggest things about some of these overrated and underrated is because of the schedules and who the SEC teams play or who the ACC teams play or don't play, like Case was just talking about. And my number one most overrated team, unfortunately, is Tennessee. Maybe they get to nine wins. They're going to have a great season to get the nine wins. I could see them at seven wins. I mean, they got to beat Syracuse. And I think they will beat Syracuse, but 14.5 points is stupid. They will have to get extremely lucky to cover that. Then they play ETSU, but then they've got Georgia. And I think Georgia's overrated, but I don't think they're going to beat Georgia. Then they have UAB. So, yeah, there's three wins. Mississippi State, four wins. Arkansas should be a fifth win. Then they go to Alabama. Then they play Kentucky, which should be a sixth win. Then they're at home against Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma's coming off a brutal stretch to run into that. Maybe Tennessee wins, but depending, you know, if Mateer's not there, you know, obviously whatever. But I do think Oklahoma's going to be much better, but I can't put them overrated or underrated just because outside of Florida, they may have one of the most difficult schedules around. I think Tennessee beats New Mexico State, but then they go to Florida. Tennessee never wins in Gainesville. They just don't. And then they end the season with Vandy. And I mean, you know, just like Diego Favier tells you, I mean, they're going to run the SEC. They're definitely going to run Tennessee at Vanderbilt this year. So I think even the AP, the coach is 24th. Okay. But I can see an 8-4 season.
Overrated. Give me Kip. Go. Give me some overrated, man.
Oh, I let's just go right to the top. I kind of talked about it at the beginning. I look at Texas last year. They were not dominant. Texas had struggles at Vanderbilt. Texas eked out, I think, a 20-10 win against Arkansas. Georgia beat them twice. I know Steve Sarkisian has gone through the ringer, has had highs and lows in his career, but and his most successful run probably was when he was the coach at Washington. He had personal problems and such at USC, but this team just didn't just jump out at me as some super team last year, and they lost a lot of personnel. I mean, they've plugged in a lot of blue chippers and high recruits, but and Arch is still a question mark. I got to see him play. I'm all about schedules. I look at their schedule. Texas is at Ohio State. Kai's conceding that one to the Longhorns. I'm not so sure. I think I have questions about Ohio State as well, but that's a road game in Columbus against the defending champion. That's certainly a bump in the road. They have to go to Georgia. Georgia hasn't lost in Sanford Stadium since 2018, and they beat Texas twice last year, so they kind of got to be in their head a little bit. And they go to the Swamp and play Florida. That's always a tough assignment. I'm not so sure. Once again, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record here. I don't know what all these teams are going to have, but I think those are three challenging road assignments for Texas, not to mention the fact they play two bitter rivals in Oklahoma and Texas A&M. I don't think they're going to be a bust necessarily in terms of a bad season, but I can see in that five-game stretch them losing three of those games. I don't understand this obsession, everybody putting Texas on top. I they're going to have to show me, because they didn't look like a superpower team to me last year. The Texas A&M game was their best performance, and they completely shut them down. But even in the playoffs, so they beat Clemson at home. Great. Clemson was not even a playoff caliber team last year, and now everybody's high on them to be all world this year. And then they should have lost. They really were lucky to get by Arizona State in round two. They had Ohio State on the ropes. That was their other best performance. But if Sarkisian's such a genius, and he has Arch Manning, how come Arch Manning didn't play when Quinn Ewers was hurt? and not being very consistent and cost them a couple of games last year. I don't know. There's just big questions in my mind about Texas. I'm on board also about Clemson. I think Clemson's schedule at first glance maybe doesn't look that daunting, but LSU right off the bat, 2 weeks later, they have to go to Georgia Tech. Kai keeps mentioning 11 o'clock games for Clemson. This one isn't at home. It's going to be in Atlanta, but I think Tech's kind of a sleeping giant this year. I think Brent Key is one of the really promising up and coming coaches. That is not going to be a walkover for Clemson. Their other ACC road games are at Louisville, who beat them last year, at Clemson, at North Carolina, who we don't know what Belichick's going to have to offer. Those are not easy games, and they close the year at South Carolina. So once again, that's another team with five potential landmines on their schedule. I don't see them just waltzing through the regular season. So that's
well, good thing mine. Is you got a Dabo Sweeney who knows about landmines, right? I mean, he's been a coach here for a long period of time.
Yeah, but he's lost some games on the road that are head scratching in the past.
But I'm not going to sit there and say that I think they're going to lose against Georgia Tech. I'm not going to go that far. He's got every piece. This is what he's done the last three years.
But his pieces come back from a team that was pretty shitty last year.
They won 10 games last year.
They lost three games.
They lost four games, but look what they did the last 6 weeks of the season. This is a team that was 5-4 at one point. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but who did they beat, Tony, in that stretch?
We'll see. I mean, and then they got a quarterback coming back for his fourth year, too. So we'll see.
Yeah, who's been average at best,
all of a sudden, we got Georgia Tech who runs this fucked up offense, and we still don't know what the hell it is. Now we're talking about Georgia Tech knocking off Clemson. Come on. Give me a break.
Tell me your kid goes close to Clemson without telling me your kid goes to Clemson.
Fucking break.
I mean, are we pretending like NC State, who has less than Georgia Tech, didn't beat Clemson in back-to-back years? I don't get the narrative that Clemson was so much better than everyone in the ACC last year. I'm looking at Central. We just made fun of Florida State. They beat Florida State by
I didn't say they were last year. They lost 10-4 games last year. It was what it is. We're talking about this year.
Okay. Then part of the reason you're talking about this year, they have 80% returning production. That means you're going to base a lot on what they've done in the past.
Coming off a 10-4 season, not too bad.
Yeah, a 10-4
season. And a quarterback that had 36 touchdowns and only 6 picks, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, we'll see what happens. When he's got dude wipes and he's wiping Brian Kelly's ass with his own face after that first fucking game, we'll talk about it.
All right, hey, I'll put my balls on the table. Tell me how much money you want to give me on LSU plus 4.5 right now. Tell me how much money you want to give me on Clemson under 10.5.
I already have a book that I deal with.
I don't work outside my book. Okay, yes.
I would not want to hurt his feelings because I think he's listening to the show.
We can double or nothing the stake bet. I'll take Clemson -4.5.
You know what? Just to come on this show after that game and just stick it in your face is enough for me. I don't need to be taking your money too and buying your steak dinners for you.
Clemson's going to win by at least a touchdown.
All right. Well, hey, I'm just saying.
Mark that spot. That's 41-29 in week one. There you go. Okay.
For the record, I'll back up anything I say on the show with any price.
Oh, I know you do. You're good. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm sitting there talking about where all of a sudden we're talking about Georgia Tech winning by double digits against Clemson. I'm like, whoa, wait, hold on a sec here. What are we doing here? I didn't say anything about double digits. Are they still playing at Bobby Dodd Stadium? I mean, what the hell? I mean, the last time I went there, I think I saw Jimmy Buffett play there in 1979 or something. It was the best show I've ever seen.
A Clemson shirt.
Yeah, I know. It does look like a Clemson shirt.
Attaboy. There you go. Come my way, my friend. Come my way.
Hey, for the record, that's the first time you've ever said show me, Kip, without saying I'm not from Missouri. I know I'm not from Missouri, the show me state, but show me. That's the first time I think that you've referenced show me without saying.
Santo, come here. Get your ass in. Come here. Come here. They're blowing. Get your ass in here. Let's go. Get on up. See, I want to know. Come here right here. Even my Clemson guy is trying to play coy. My son has got a Clemson shirt on right now. He don't even want to come on the show because he's okay. Go on. I was just blowing your horn, man. He's trying to make.
Hey, so you giving your?
I'm sitting there. They're blowing up. Clemson sucks. They're going to lose to Georgia Tech. You're going to lose to Georgia Tech. Okay, well, I was going to gift you. Let's go. Okay, go on. Do your thing.
My overrated teams. Even before we started all this, I promise I was going to put Clemson number one. And look. A lot of people are on you, Kai and Tony's side. They have taken so much money in the betting market. I know people get sick of me saying it's price dependent, but this is why things are so price dependent. when the ACC future odds came out, Clemson was plus 250 to win the conference. And I was like, man, that's really high. I should probably bet that. Of course I didn't. I wish I'd bet it now. That's an implied 28%. Now what's Clemson to win the ACC? Minus 120. Wow. Like almost 60% to win the ACC now. Wow. That's just way, way, way too big of a move for me. I mean, I don't think they were world killers last year. I mean, did everyone forget the Louisville game? The Cardinals kicked their ass. Clearly the more physical, better team. SMU, you cover up the final score and just look at the stats, you're like scratching your head saying, how did SMU not beat this team? Because they had some fluky turnovers. Yeah. They barely beat Pittsburgh. They barely beat Virginia Tech, who won like, what, four games. So look, I could be wrong. There's a lot of really sharp people on Clemson, but I just think price-wise, there's no, they're the biggest favorite of any power conference to win. I cannot get to that minus 120 number to win the ACC. And also I think the 4.5 number on LSU is insane. I think they should be favored. And the only reason why I might be eating my words and why I could lose that my double steak dinner to Kai is if something is serious about this Nussmeier injury, I'm very worried. If Nussmeier's patellar tendon or whatever is wrong, yeah, they will probably work Clemson. But if Nussmeier's close to 100%, I look at that as a coin flip game. I still think Clemson's the best team in the ACC. So I'm like super anti-Clemson banging the drum here. But I cannot get to them being a minus 120 favorite. I mean, again, 28% implied to 56% implied. Nothing's really changed. How did they get – I mean, their momentum and their – just everyone is on them, and that kind of scares me, and it's thrown off the market to me, which where I think they're overrated in the market. A couple other teams, I guess, since Orange. I know this will probably spark another another argument because I know Kai loves this team, but I'm going to go local to here. The Mountain West is relocating here. I mean, Boise State is almost an odds-on favorite to make the playoff, and I just think that's insane. I think they probably are the best group of five team. They have a great program, but they lost this generational running back, second in the Heisman, nearly won the Heisman, Ashton Jeanty. And to me, that's not even the biggest bullet point. Number one, Dirk Cutter, their offensive coordinator, retires. So this offense was terrible 2 years ago, but they had to fire. They fired Andy Avalos.
He's been around forever, hadn't he, Dirk Cutter? He's like,
I already said, I've got South Florida week one plus 7.5.
That number, actually, I was starting to think maybe I'm just wrong and Boise really is that good. Is that number drifted all the way to 9.5? Now this week we have seen huge steam on South Florida. Now we've got as low as 5.5. So, you know, Boise still probably wins the Mountain West, still probably the best team, but they won the Mountain West the year they fired Avalos. And this is the Andy Avalos show, apparently. I've mentioned him twice with TCU, too. But I mean, this is another market dependent. I mean, they're like basically a coin flip to make the playoff. I just think that's crazy when there's, 48 other teams, and I think some are going to take the leap. So I'm a little down on Boise State. I swear this is one of my other teams even before Tony said it. So I'm not antagonizing Tony. And I liked one of Tony's overrated teams.
Oh, yay! Case liked one of my plays. Thank you so much.
No, I can't remember who it was, though, but yeah.
I've got something to masturbate to. Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
Oh, my God.
Tell me the bet you want to book. I'll book it. We'll make something happen. But I promise, even before you said that, Illinois was one of my overrated teams. I think they went 6-1 in one score games last year. They just won all these fluky ways. I think they lost like their top four receivers. I think Penn State poached one. They had one guy go in the third round of the draft.
Leading rusher went to Georgia.
I'm not all that much of an Altmaier guy. Maybe I'm wrong and he's amazing in this year. I feel like he really kind of got lucky and had a lot around him last year. All those guys are gone. I think the schedule is a little tougher this year. So just when I see people saying Illinois is like a fringe top 10 team are going to make the playoff, I don't see that at all. So Illinois would be my final overrated team.
All right. And I think I interrupted Kip there midway through his overrated teams. I want to make sure that we got all your overrated teams there, Kip Dog.
There's a bunch of them at the top. I don't think Notre Dame's going to be all that. They've got at least some of the other teams have quarterbacks debuting that have played some. CJ Carr has not seen the field, period. That's a big blank spot for me. I know they've got a couple of really good running backs coming back. I don't think the team was that great last year. They got to the final, which is remarkable because you know, and everybody's so obsessed with Coach Freeman and maybe he's going to turn out to be a great coach, but their schedule, and I know Kai just said he's not high on Miami. I'm not necessarily high on them either, but that's not a really good place to go debut for a brand new quarterback on the road that first week. And if we're right about Texas A&M being maybe a little bit better than they appear to be, that That's who Notre Dame hosts in week two. That's going to be kind of a revenge game. Notre Dame went down there and got a win in College Station in a real hotly contested game last year. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that Notre Dame could start 0-2 and maybe get thrown into a little bit of a tailspin. Case just talking about Boise. They do have Boise on the schedule. That's not an automatic win. It is in South Bend. And of course, USC, a team Case is high on, is on their schedule as well. So I would make Notre Dame maybe my third, but they're probably a lot less likely than my first two. One quick point on the Nussmeier situation. If he is hurt, Brian Kelly did something pretty savvy. He added, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the kid's first name. He added Van Buren. I know Martin Van Buren, the former president of the United States back in the 1800s. I don't think this kid's name's Martin, but Van Buren was very presidential for a terrible Mississippi State team last year. He threw for a gazillion yards on a really bad team and lit up a couple of good secondaries. I think he threw for over 300 at Georgia. They put up 30 points and losing, I think, 42-30 to Georgia last year. So they're not, the cupboard's not bare in the backup quarterback position. If Nussmeier is banged up, Van Buren has played a lot of football against top SEC competition. I know that's a step back, but they're not destitute if that takes place.
Unlike Florida, whose backup is Harrison Bailey, who couldn't even win this top two job at UNLV. So I'm really worried about Florida if Lagway's hurt. That's a gigantic.
Yeah. Anything he's going to see either.
Exactly. That kid that did play for Lagway last year was a transfer from Yale. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was as bad as, and Missouri had the same situation when Cook missed some games. Quarterbacks that are coaches that don't address the backup quarterback spot lose a lot of credibility with me, because that was two teams last year, Florida and Missouri, having nobody to pivot to when their starter was down, really kind of ruined both their seasons.
Before we get into the National Football League and I told you so moment, my overrated teams, Ohio State, I think they're just going off Ohio State. Listen, Ohio State should be a top five team every single year. So you can make an argument they're going to be overrated every year just because of the recruiting they bring in. Obviously, Ryan Day wins on Natty last year, and he didn't even have to fucking beat Michigan. So, I mean, if you can go ahead and not beat Michigan and still win national championships, good for you. I'm going to be really concerned about the Crimson Tide. I think Legend, our buddy who's on ABC 3340 with us, he may walk off a cliff about 5 weeks. I'm really concerned because I don't think Ty Simpson, I think there's a reason why we waited so long to name that quarterback. I don't think they've got it going on through the quarterback situation. I don't think they had it last year. I think everyone was so high on Jalen Milroe. Something was wrong with him last year. He was banged up. Something happened about like week three or four. Something was wrong. And it always comes down, when Alabama's not good, it always comes down to leadership. It comes down to leadership, and it usually goes to that quarterback position. And I don't see Simpson as this guy. I've been watching tape. I don't see this guy as a leader. I don't see this guy. I think they got some big time issues there. And I think it also goes with Kalen DeBoer being a second season. If Nick Saban's back there saying he's willing to come back, they're probably praying they lose five games this year. So he'll do that. Michigan, I don't know. Coach Sharon, I don't know anything about this. All I know is he's a crybaby, and I think ever since Harbaugh left that program, I think they're in the dumper. I don't expect them to do very, very well. Arizona State, a team everyone thought was going to be lousy, comes out of the doors last year and just a fantastic job winning 11 games, but are they a top 10 team? I don't think so. And of course, any team that Brian Kelly's coaching, LSU, I'm not into. National Football League. So Friday we're doing a show, and we're talking about this Pete Carroll Vegas versus Seattle game, right? And we're going around, and Pete Carroll loves to win preseason games, and he wants to beat the shit out of the team that he was used to be at, and blah, blah, blah. The line goes all the way to 5.5. What happened in that game? They didn't get to cover. Everybody and their mother, I think they had a line open like a 2.5. I've never seen a preseason game go 3 or 4 points right before kickoff. Everyone's like, oh, Pete Carroll. So be careful. That's why you listen to K4Wins.com. Don't listen to the bullshit about, oh, well, you know, it's been an off season for him. Someone told me that he was giving his eggs Benedict last week, and he said he's going to put up 40 against fucking Seattle. Bullshit. It's preseason game. A lot of these guys don't even know what city they're playing in right now. They don't even know if they're going to be playing for the team. Of course, the game ends up being a 23-23. I told you last week on the show, and Kai will say it, you want to win money the preseason, bet the underdog. And what I tell you, bet every underdog this weekend, you'll be a winner. Underdogs 11-5 against the spread, 9 outright wins. 9 outright wins 11-5, play the underdogs week one. It hits every single year. I don't know what Case would say about that. He's probably sitting here full of shit, but if you play underdogs every single weekend, I think underdogs hit about 63-64% in NFL preseason football. There's no reason why they want to cover the spread. They don't, but 11-5 preseason. Anybody got anything to say on that? You would have been 11-5. I didn't play them. I wish I had. I didn't want to play 16 games, but 11-5 against the spread. Is there any
I'd
other
rather
way?
Bet on the, go ahead, Kai.
Why not? I mean, preseason, you don't know what to do unless you really dive into who's playing and how much they're definitely playing and if they're fighting for a job and if they're trying to get the number two quarterback and all that. So, yeah, why not? I mean, what other thing do you really have to look at? I was on that bandwagon. I liked Vegas. I didn't like them at 4.5, 5. I liked them at 2.5, 2, and 3, but even that, they didn't cover. But, yeah, absolutely. Why not go that way, especially in week one, when you don't really know who's playing, why they're playing, and all the other things?
I do think it's interesting, and I saw Coach Zach come out of the Cincinnati Bengals, obviously I'm a fan there, and said, listen, I'm not waiting till week 2 or 3 to start my starters in preseason ball because they're 2-7, their last 9 games to start the 2023-24 season. Case, do people look at that and go, okay, listen, I mean, one extra series for Joe Burrow could mean a win or a loss in a preseason game if that's where you're tendering to want to put your money.
Yeah, that one got me. I think I bet Cincinnati maybe like -3. They closed like 6, 6.5.
Oh,
and they did exactly what people would think about the Bengals. I think didn't Burrow or Chase and those guys play like 2 or 3 series? Mm-hmm. I think they ended up playing a few series, scored, but absolutely could not stop Tanner McKee and the Eagles March. I will say that, I mean, the professional bettors, the guys shaping the market on the preseason, this has been like a gold mine for them in past years. Crushed it, really do better than the NFL regular season. You kind of alluded to it with the moves this year. Everyone got absolutely destroyed last week, apparently, except Tony. I mean, the sports books, at least here, cleaned up, the people taking big limits. All these services, all these guys betting the most money they can, they all lost. All the steam sides ended up losing, including the Raiders, which I agree. I said I liked the Raiders at 2.5. I wouldn't have laid 5.5. And they had a field goal at the end of the game to cover the 2.5. It did get blocked. I will say, total another aside, but I thought of you guys because the star of that game for the Raiders, who made a huge comeback and almost won, was a kid from Hoover, Shedrick Jackson, who went to Auburn too. So I know some of you guys are around that area. So that was interesting. I don't think he really has any chance to make the team, but he looked awesome in preseason. I honestly probably think it was more of an anomaly than anything. I'm not to dispute your underdog numbers. I just haven't looked into it. They're quite possibly accurate. I do know these steam sides. I think I saw a stat going into last week. This is before all the games didn't age well, but the line moves that have moved more than 3 points, even if you bet the team after the steam over like the last 10 years, it was like 63% or 64%. Like wow. Usually it's an information game. Usually if you get the information and you get it down at the good number, it comes through. That did not happen in week one. Another interesting thing, week one, like almost every game went over. And usually these preseason games are like 17-16. Like I think like all but 4 of them.
Well, the Pats put up 48 points, didn't they?
Yeah. So it was all overs and underdogs. I honestly, if you're nailing me down, I think it was probably just more randomness than anything, and it'll even out the next 2 weeks. But who really knows? I'm not huge on the preseason. That's just some jumbled thoughts about where we're at.
That is fun, though. I mean, it's football, right? I mean, we get a chance to lay some money.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
You're betting on guys that are going to be working in enterprise rental car or insurance agencies in a couple of weeks. Saratoga race course in New York on Sunday ran 40-yard corgi race. I don't even know what a corgi was. It's some kind of stupid looking dog.
That was awesome.
They ran these 40-yard corgi races between the horse races on Sunday. I would rather bet on those than NFL preseason.
That was epic, dude. They did that UAB basketball game this past year, corgi race. Evidently, it's a big thing, and it's almost like the banana baseball team. They're making they're making big strides.
It's not very exciting. There was like two. This one guy owned like 3 of them. There were like 50 in the tournament, and his 3 just. I mean, I don't know what kind of animal cruelty measures he's taken, but they just dominated and would in a 40-yard race they're winning by 20 yards. So not the most exciting thing, but I'd still rather bet on that than an NFL preseason game.
I think I'd rather see corgis running than dog frisbees. I'm serious.
Hey, Tony,
yeah.
I got an NFL useless fact for you. I want to see if anybody gets this.
Go, baby.
And it's only from 2 quarterbacks. I heard this on like ESPN Ocho Cinco the other day, watching some show on there. So for NFL playoff money for quarterbacks, how much they average making per playoff win? Okay, just two quarterbacks: Mahomes, Dak Prescott.
Oh my gosh!
How much do you think Mahomes averages on his money per NFL win when you take his salary yearly and all that stuff?
For playoff wins or just wins, period?
Playoff wins.
Oh, well, it's going to be a lot lower than Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott hasn't won shit. And Mahomes wins a lot. I wouldn't even put a number on it. I don't even know what it'd be like.
All right. What do you think, Kay, Skip? Any guesses?
Well, Mahomes won a bunch on his rookie contracts too. So I'm assuming these prices are also add in the fact that he wasn't making very much his first couple Super Bowl runs. I'm going to say Dak's got to have made. Has Dak won a playoff game? Maybe one. He's won two. Okay. So he probably
won 17.
Okay. He's probably won did he get like 80 million per playoff win or something?
Mahomes is 10 million per playoff win.
Okay.
Dak is 124 million per playoff.
Oh my gosh. That is
great. What a great stat.
That's useless info.
That is great useless info. I love that. That's fantastic. Hey, great stuff. Go to k4wins.com, k4wins.com. We'll be back on Coastal Sports Network this weekend. We're on every single Tuesday and Friday. When Case isn't on, he's in the locker room with those Las Vegas Raiders. So we're going to have some inside information from him. Go out the season. Check out the LasVegasSun.com. Check out the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. And, of course, check out my man there, Kai Greger, and myself, Tony Kerr, right here on k4wins.com. We'll be back again on our big TV show coming up this Saturday. It's going to be killer. The starting lineup from 10:30, 11 o'clock. We cannot wait. We're 11 days away from the start of the college football season. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Been a fun show. Kumbaya all around.
go Tigers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.